Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 443, entitled AI Experiments in WordPress, a plugin search engine, customer support bots, and block editor integration. It was published on Thursday, the 30th of October, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and we will get into our conversation a little bit later. Before that, a few bits of housekeeping. The main thing that's going on these days in the WordPress space is Black Friday. If you are curious about what things are available in the run-up to Black Friday, we have a page where we are curating a whole bunch of things. Currently, there's about 125 different deals on that page. You can find out what dates they start, what dates they end, and the percentage off that you're going to receive. I suggest that you bookmark that page. It's dead easy. wpbuilds.com/black. Once more, wpbuilds.com/black. Go there, and in the run-up to Black Friday, you will see all of the deals as they occur. We usually have about 400 deals on there, which pretty much encapsulates all of the deals in the WordPress space. And if you are a product owner, you can add your deal for free. If you scroll down a little bit, there's an add a deal button. Click that, fill out the form. And if you have a WordPress product or something in the WordPress space, we will make sure that it gets on that page. If you would like to really boost your ratings as a product or service owner, why not take out some sponsorship for that page? There are some little cards at the top. You can see, for example, that WS Form have taken us up on this. It will get you pride of place in the run-up to Black Friday, which, as you will know, is a very busy time. wpbuilds.com/black. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast more generally, and you're going to hear from a few companies that do just that in a moment, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. The WP Builds Podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also helped out by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also joined by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And thanks go to Bluehost, GoDaddy Pro, and Omnisend for their continuing support of the WP Builds Podcast. Remember, if you'd like to join them, wpbuilds.com/advertise. Right, what have we got for you today? Well, it's a really interesting episode. I'm talking to Amadeo Ardeu. He's a developer based in Spain, and over the last period of time, they've been really getting into AI-based products. We talk about three things today, one which is a plugin marketplace where you can search with AI, not just like.org, the free plugins, but also premium plugins as well. That's interesting. We also talk about a chat interface which will enable people who visit your website to be able to ask questions about the content of your website. And then towards the end, we get into a product that they are working on which enables you to build by prompting inside of the Gutenberg editor interface. It's really interesting. They really are pushing the boundaries of AI, and I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Amadeo Ardeu. Did I get that right?
It was almost perfect.
Okay. Well, yes. Can I go with almost perfect? Is that okay?
Yes.
I had a few practices before we began, and that probably is good as it's going to get. I'm really intrigued by this episode. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. I think it's quite likely, dear listener, that there's going to be one or two bits and pieces in here that you will not have heard of before. And some of them, especially the one that kind of reminds me of, you know, it's like AI injected into your Gutenberg interface, is particularly interesting. I'm new to a lot of it as well, so I'm going to be exploring with you. So before we begin, would you just mind introducing yourself? I don't mean anything particularly long, just a quick bio, who you are and how you've ended up dealing with WordPress and so on.
Well, I am an industrial engineer from Barcelona, Spain, and I have two partners, so we are three, in our company that its name is Sirivelia, that we started almost 10 years ago. And since then, we've been like developing custom plugins for other customers. And recently, like 2 years ago, we started developing some, let's say, AI experiments in the WordPress ecosystem. And I think that's a good introduction for myself.
Okay, that will do. Yeah, that's really nice. Well, I will say, dear listener, again, if there's anything in this episode that you're not sure about, just go to wpbuilds.com, search for this episode. I'm not entirely sure what the number of this episode will be just yet, but just search for this episode. And in the show notes will be links to all of the different bits and pieces that we're going to tackle. We are going to try to get through three different things, and I'll just say what they are one at a time. So the first one that we're going to explore, this is really cool. I've got to say, this is kind of what we all need, I think, to some extent. It's called plugins, and the spelling is maybe not what you think. It's P-L-O-O, so double O, G-I-N-S, and you can add .com to that. So plugins, double O, .com. And it's almost like the repository for WordPress for plugins, only there's a few little twists and turns which make it a bit different. Do you want to describe how this would be different than going to WordPress.org? Because there's quite a bit to unpack here.
Yes, I think the easiest way to explain it is like using Google for searching plugins. Nowadays, in Google, you use almost natural language. I mean, you are not really using like really keyword-based searches anymore. You remember back in the time when we used to quote things, use pluses and minus within the query? So it's more than that, like really similar to Google. So just to say it differently, it's a search engine that understands natural language and converts natural language to plugin intentions or plugin features or plugin needs from this query, and gives you plugins that hopefully solves that problem that you are writing.
So the idea is that you go to plugins.com. I'm actually looking at a results page at the moment, so I'm quickly going to eradicate that and get back to the sort of main domain. So you go to plugins.com and you're presented with basically a blue screen with what you'd expect from Google back in the day. There's one text field, really. And instead of it being a very short query, you can write in your own natural language. And so you could make that a full sentence or a paragraph full of sentences. And the idea being is that you ask plugins which plugin would be the best match for the set of criteria that you've got. Oh, I don't know. You need a form plugin which has the capacity to upload images on the front end. And then plugins will go off. And I presume you're connecting to some API endpoint of some AI agent out there. You wait a moment or two. You know, AI is not as quick as Google would be. It has to do a little bit of thinking. But you type in and then you get a bunch of search results back. So my first question is, I'm using English because that's the only language that I speak. How applicable would this be across all languages? You know, for example, if I speak Japanese or French or whatever it may be, am I okay to use it with those?
It may give you different results because in the WordPress directory, plugins are sometimes also written in other languages. I mean, the native or let's say the primary source of the plugin. I mean, also the title, but it will work for, let's say, the majority of languages out of the box without anything else to do. The thing is, the website is in English. So even if you search with Spanish, let's say, you will get the plugins in the English version.
Okay.
But yes, it works with all languages because AI, as we know, is is designed to understand any language at this point.
That's so curious, though, that you can just begin typing in any language and it'll just kind of figure it out for you. That is remarkable. So I'll give you a quick idea. I wrote one sentence, and the sentence that I wrote was a plugin, so in quotes, a plugin which offers the ability to customize the WooCommerce checkout page. I thought that was a kind of query that maybe a bunch of people might want to do. That could have been much longer. I could have been much more specific, but that was the thing that I wrote. And I pressed return and I waited maybe 10 seconds, something around that length of time. And I got 19 search results back. And I won't tell you what they are, but they're the ones that I kind of expected, being in the WordPress space and obsessing about WordPress. These were the ones that I would have expected to come back. Now, what's curious, though, is the way that you surface these. So as an example, you'll give the title, you have a link to the plugin page, you've got a link to the playground page, all like .org would have at the moment. You say how many installs there are, you say when it was last updated, the star rating, and so on and so forth. Now, so at the moment, the user may be thinking, well, how's that different to .org? And I guess the secret sauce here, the bit that makes it kind of really interesting to me, is that you don't just limit yourself to free things off the repository. You're also open to paid plugins, so pro mm-hmm. versions of plugins as well. And if that's the case, how do you know that they exist? Because presumably you don't spend hours of your evening, every evening, going out looking for these plugins to add. Is there some backwards and forwards that you have with developers where they can fill up the plugins database with this?
Yes, we ask developers to submit their plugins in the platform. When we started 2 years ago, there weren't premium plugins. And progressively, we started to add them by asking companies and individuals, developers, do you want your plugins to be in plugins? And the website has a banner that if you are a premium or a plugin developer, you can submit them. It's free. We will ask some questions, like content questions, like we need content from the plugin, and we will index it in our database. So yes, plugins gives you both community and premium plugins for the queries. The challenge here for ourselves and for anyone who tried to build a search solution would understand is how to rank things or how to order them, because we are at the moment, you know, we are mixing things. We are mixing community plugins. We have some data from them, but I don't know how many active installations this specific premium plugin has.
Yeah.
So we have to be creative and to find a way to, you know, to adapt these formulas of ranking formulas, let's say, for the project. It's like a challenge. It was a challenge at the moment. Yes, it was.
Yeah, and if you think about it, it's a challenge that Google have been trying to crack for the last 20 years, and they're still tweaking their algorithm.
Keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It's never going to come to an end, this one. But really curious. So what I put in, the query that I put in, I don't know if some of those are premium. I suspect, just looking through them, it kind of feels to me as if the ones that I've got, all 19 of the results that I've got, may be ones that are available on the .org page, because they've all got an open playground link. I don't know if that's something that you get off the .org page. But there's also kind of faceted search as well. So, for example, I can check a box and say, give me the ones that will work only on the latest version of WordPress, so whatever the current state of WordPress is at the moment. Then I can choose to filter out, or rather in, I guess, the amount of updates it's had. So by that, I mean, has it been updated in the last month? Check that box and only recently updated ones will appear. And there's four different options of different times. Then popularity, which I guess is some kind of measure of success and quality to some people, 1 million and above, and then 500,000 and, you know, right down to 1,000 and below. Mm-hmm. And then star rating, again, I presume is coming out of the .org repo. You've got the ability to sort of like things and what have you. Do you have, like, the capacity for me to log in and kind of keep a record of the bits and pieces that I've liked? So, yes. For example, if I do a thumbs up, can I come back to that, like a bookmarked thing in the future?
Well, not this one, but the first thing that you said. I mean, you can log in, you can register, and any search that you do while logged in would be saved, and you would, in a really simple dashboard that you will be able to access through the top right corner of the web page, you will see your searches.
Okay, so like you're going to keep a track of one. The different searches that I applied.
Yes.
Got it. So I guess I have a fairly obvious question. This is quite a lot of work. Presumably, the more popular it gets, the more money is draining out of your pocket because you're doing AI searches and connecting to some API somewhere.
Yes.
How do you keep this thing going? And what's the plan for growth? Do you intend to sort of monetize it in some way, or are you going to keep it this philanthropic thing? What's the plan?
Well, let me say that nowadays this project is not giving us any income revenue. Okay. Let me say that this project was, and it still is, but really at the beginning it was really about branding and awareness of ourselves. I mean, we are talking now, you and me, maybe because of we decided to build this. So it was a way for us to say to everyone, hey, this is us, we are doing things like this.
Nice, yeah.
And it was 2 years ago. So now the question is really different because now we are, you know, we have to pay this usage and these machines each month. And we have to decide if we keep doing it or we find a fit for it for, I don't know, some use case or some customers. I'm not sure if we will find it eventually, but at the moment we are thinking that maybe providers like hostings or people that has, or companies that has a lot of installations would be interested into using our API or our services, let's say, to allow their users to search more securely and smarter in their applications, let's say.
Yeah.
At the moment, let me say that Modular DS, a startup from Spain that is like this maintenance.
I know them. Yeah.
Okay. They are using our API. So let's say we have our first customer there. So that's our idea.
That's a really interesting idea. So as an example, so Modular DS is kind of like a way of keeping track of multiple websites. So there are various rivals out there, but you know, if you're an agency owner and you've got, I don't know, 50 websites to maintain or something like that, Modular DS can kind of make that whole process easy. You log into this sort of central dashboard. And so therefore having the capacity to search for different plugins, maybe that you or your clients want to have, you could discover different things for them. The other one that occurred to me is like hosting companies, you know, who maybe want to put something like this in front of their clients. And maybe they would even have relationships, you know, I don't know, affiliate relationships or something like that, whereby, you know, you install a plugin through Plugins and it's a premium plugin. Maybe there's some, you know, a small affiliate commission that could fly in either direction or something like that. So I think there's definitely ways of making this work. It's whether or not, I guess, you've got the time and capacity to make that happen. But hosting companies seem to be a good bet. The reason that this is kind of more timely than ever, I think, is I don't know if you've come across the FAIR project. This seems to sort of map in various ways to what you're doing. I mean, it's not an AI search as such. It's like how to describe it. It's a federated version of the WordPress repository at a basic, but then they also add in other plugins as well from different sources. I don't know if they add in premium plugins as well, but it does seem like there's kind of interest in this type of project renewed by the interest in things like FAIR and things like that. I don't know if you've got anything you want to add there.
Well, the core tech that we are using or developed, I mean, the main thing that is really unique to Plugins can be attachable to, let's say, the WordPress.org directory, to FAIR, to, let's say, any way of searching for plugins. It can be attachable.
Yeah.
Because it's really, it's not an algorithm, it's not really that sophisticated, but it's like a layer in between the query and the results that AI and some some things that we had to do, and we discovered, and some interesting technology there that would translate this into specific queries for the plugin database. So yes, this technology, this semantic search technology, can be attachable in some layers in, let's say, the FAIR project, yeah, or even the WordPress.org directory, or I don't know how many other ideas would emerge in the future, but...
Well, yes. The thing that strikes me is if you go to WordPress.org, you know what you're getting. You're going to get whatever their search algorithm is. And actually, the WordPress.org search algorithm is available. You can actually inspect what that algorithm is. It is, you know, it might look impenetrable, but there is logic, and you can see what that logic is. But when you start looking for something premium, you really are relying on a search engine at this point. And so you're going to find out what Google offers you, and who knows, yes, what the heck is going on there. But I like the fact that this puts free and paid ones in the same interface. I think that's why it's so interesting, because you'll be able to see things that are free alongside things that are premium. And I just think that's a really, really unique offering. I think that's really credible.
The thing is, I think our mistake through these 2 years, one of them, is that we actually don't know at this moment either where to focus or where to, let's say, feature the project. I mean, as you said, the interesting thing is that we have both community and premium. But I don't think this is really featured in the project itself. I mean, we have we have some things working on the project, in the platform. We have an API also. We have a WordPress plugin also that gives you this experience inside your own website. But we may have to think about how to present this to the people. I mean, which is the best part of it? Is it that we have both community and premium? Is it the filtering? I don't know. We have to maybe to continue validating it and maybe changing how to tell the project.
Yeah, and I mean, with any marketplace, you need revenue to keep it going as well, don't you? You need to figure out a revenue model in order that, you know, your infrastructure can stand up and you can pay the bills for that each and every day, because you can't just keep going in a philanthropic way forever.
I know, but for now, for ourselves, this is paying off. I mean, we are getting more visibility. We are talking to people I suppose we would have a difficult time to reaching them. So, well, I don't know about the future, but at the moment, it is giving us opportunities.
Yeah, so. Well, there you go. And if that's what it gives you, and that you're happy with that, well, bravo to you. That's brilliant. So I'll just read the URL one more time. So it's plugins, plogins.com. So there's one of the three things that we were going to discuss today. Now, the second one, let's because I had sort of like, I wasn't entirely sure which way around we'd do it. Let's go for join chat. So fantastic URL, by the way. If you're going to name a product join chat, getting the URL join.chat, pretty cool. I'm not sure if that was freely available, but you did well capturing that. So join.chat, and you're going to see there, this is billing itself as increase your profits and support team's productivity by automating 80% of customer queries. Maybe that'll explain to most people kind of what we're doing, but do you just want to roughly sketch out what this project is?
Yes. Maybe people would already know about Join Chat, because Join Chat is a community plugin, like a free plugin. This famous plugin for the floating WhatsApp button on the bottom right corner.
Yeah, there it is. I can see it right now.
This plugin was developed by a Spanish company. Really similar to us. There are three partners, maybe a little bit older than us, but they're from Spain. And we met on one of these WordCamps in Spain. You know, we are crazy about WordCamps there. We have like almost 10 per year.
Yeah.
So a lot of opportunities to meet people. And we decided to create a new add-on for this plugin, let's say Join Chat AI. And we joint venture, if it's a verb, I don't know how to say, we joint venture this add-on, and this add-on is turning this, let's say, simple plugin, like only a WhatsApp button. And if you have this add-on, this button actually opens a chat and it uses AI and answers only using the content that is published in your website. And inside the plugin, through the settings, you can decide which CPTs, let's say, which posts or content are going to be indexed for the AI to use. We try to be really native, so there is no script, no iframe, nothing, just a plugin, an API key, and just from the plugin itself, you can configure everything.
So basically, it's kind of like having a conversation with the website, because the only yes. thing it can describe back to you is, so if you ask it a question, you know, some random question, I don't know, in what year did Abraham Lincoln become president of the United States? If this is not a website which contains that information, so it's not a history website, for example, it's going to come up with no answer. But if your website happens to have that, then yeah, it will. So this is kind of perfect for people who want to put something, like, it's like search on steroids in a way, isn't it? You know, you get the ability to talk to the website about the content. And from what you've described, you can make custom post types available, different fields and what have you. You can say in the plugin settings, yeah, this is available, but this is not. We want to keep this one kind of ring-fenced around these kind of topics. That's a really cool idea. I know you probably just want to, you know, big it up and what have you, but what's your experience with it? Does it give you interesting, unique chats in the way that you had intended when you started building it?
Well, you can't imagine how the support for this plugin is, because its ticket is really unique, because our customers have their customers are really unique, asking things. So, I mean, AI is really unpredictable sometimes. And this project and this product gives the opportunity to people to be creative and to find limits for this. You know? So the main challenge of the plugin is first to tell the users, the people who is going to use the plugin in the admin section, how to really configure correctly to not be so hallucinating. And then to also explain them why the AI is how it is, because sometimes we put too much expectations on AI nowadays, and sometimes it fails really badly. So the challenge is to start explaining how it is to have your own chatbot, your own AI chatbot in your website, and the expectations, how to check it regularly, you know, because this prompt, or let's say the instructions that you can type down in the plugin configuration, those are like open for you. If you buy the plugin, you can like write anything you want, like an instruction. You can instruct the chatbot to be, I don't know, like a good pre-sales something,
or a pathological liar.
Yes, so it's like giving you a weapon and then having support for that weapon, you know. So I don't know if that answers your question, but
it's really interesting, because although the interface on the screenshot that you've got is, I presume, in Spanish, there's English text next to it. So I can see the settings screen, and there's a chat ID, which I presume is, you know, maybe like an OpenAI key or something like that. And then there's this section where you can give it, there's a couple of fields where you can give it guardrails, if you like. You tell it what it is that you, how you wish it to behave. I was wondering, though, if you provide context that is not available in the plugin settings. So, for example, do you wrap around it your own context, which might be something along the lines of, you know, when you provide a response, make sure that you only look at the sources that are on this particular domain. Do you add any of that? Or am I completely free to write whatever I like in the sort of context prompt? Or do you constrain that a little bit yourselves?
That is a good question. And we decided that, at least our understanding, we decided that we would be like really open source about it.
Yep.
So it's whatever you want.
Okay, I mean, anything. Okay.
Yes, so, yeah. But I mean, we only decided to add something that is called the unsafe setting. If you, I mean, this is, maybe it's a little bit silly, but when we started this project, we had GPT 3.5.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So it was
crazy.
Really bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had this test called the Elon Musk test because I wanted, I mean, my website, the test website, did not write anything about Elon Musk. But, and I wanted to see if I could ask the AI to tell me, I don't know who he is because it's not written in your website. So we managed to, how do you say, to not allow it.
Yeah, like persuade it
tell me who he was or who he is. And it was like, for me, the Elon Musk test.
Yeah.
But we went so much ahead of constraining it that we had to add an unsafe setting to the plugin. I think now it's like on default because people actually told us like, it's okay. Let the AI say write things that are not related to my website because it's natural in a conversation to also.
Oh, interesting.
But they are paying. I mean,
yeah,
our customers are paying the AI telling writing things that are not related to the business. And I said, okay, well, I'm safe for everyone because I thought in my engineering perspective that people would not like the AI to answer things that are like common or common culture or things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, because let's say, for example, you've got, a WooCommerce store and it sells, clothes or something. You kind of want the conversation to be about the clothes.
Yes.
But equally, maybe there's a bunch of WooCommerce store owners out there who are happy for it to go off the guardrails. And okay, yeah, sure, we'll get into chat around something else if you so wish it. I'm paying the API bill, whatever.
Yes.
But it's interesting that you've got the options in there, so you can constrain it in whichever way you like. And you, as a plugin developer, have not told the plugin to make sure that it lives within the walled garden of your website. And the curious thing about that is, let's say, for example, I have a website and it's all about history. And I've written 1,000 blog posts all about Roman history. Sure, it'd be interesting to go and chat about Roman history, but equally, it would be kind of fun to go off in slightly different history directions as well. That would make the whole thing a little bit more interesting, useful, as long as it didn't, you know, end up lying to me. That would be all right. But I appreciate that. I like the fact that you've given them enough rope to do what they like. And if they wish to do peculiar things with their prompts, that's
yes,
up to them.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
You know, let me tell you an example where, I mean, as a company, we love to sponsor when we can WordCamps, especially
nice.
In Spain.
Well done.
And when we do that, we always create a game for the booth.
Oh!
Yes, and one of those games, along with Join Chat Team, the six of us, three them and three us, we decided to create the Who is Who game of a WordCamp using the speakers
okay.
and using the chat. So the instructions were choose a random speaker from this list and we uploaded information from each one of them and interchange questions and answers from the user until they, guess the name correctly.
Oh, okay. And,
so
nice.
You can build things like this. I mean, maybe not really business related.
Yeah, but it's fun.
But fun, yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you can do. I mean, the best use case for this is the most boring ones. So just to explain some really boring things like rules for, let's say, an amusement park. rules of an amusement park, like how if I can bring food, I mean, things like this, this is perfect for this project. But also, I like to think that these other fun use cases are possible. No?
I mean, yeah, and you know what? Like I think it's fair to say that the internet of the last, well, let's go for 25 years, has been one of filling, like going and looking at content, so consuming stuff, and then at the very most, filling out form fields to input stuff. And that's about what you can do on the internet of the last 25 years. You can look at information, you can add information with form fields, and then, you know, you've got the web 2.0 where we tried to kind of interact with other humans and social networks and things like that. But you were unable to communicate with the website. You know, you search, Google, etc. were the best that you could have. I think this is how websites are going to behave in the future. There's going to be this dialogue with an AI that, the likes of my children, that's going to be completely normal. You won't expect to go to a website and click on links to get to one page and another page and another page. You're going to go there and have the expectation that you can talk to it. So your example, the amusement park one, is perfect. You know, go to the website. Okay, here I am. What time do you open? I don't want to find it. I just want to ask, what time do you open? And I want to get the answer, you know, and I want to know if you close this Sunday or if you're open this Sunday. What kind of, you know, what the weather's going to be like, what kind of things should I bring, that kind of thing. And this will be completely normal, I imagine. It's not a world that I'm that comfortable with or familiar with. I kind of like the old web, if you know what I mean, but it is the way that it's going to be. And so you have a solution. It enables you to add a chatbot, you know, like the intercom widget that you see on a billion websites out there. You've got the little bubble at the bottom right-hand corner. You click on it and...
That's it, actually.
You're off to the races. What a fun project. That's really, really interesting.
Add a couple of boring technical things. The plugin has also AI actions, like if-then actions.
Okay.
If the AI thinks that the user is asking for a human, we will show the WhatsApp button, for example, or show a calendar link. You can just... decide things, you know, you configure the if and then. We also have webhooks to send data to CRMs and so on.
Oh, nice.
And we are now working on this WooCommerce integration. And we are thinking like having carousels and add to cart buttons directly in the chat. I'm not talking about so innovative things, but nice to have things in this chat nowadays, because it's, as you say, the way of interacting with the website. So also how to buy things in your store if you ask for them.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So as an example, you may set a condition of, I don't know, so this is a really blunt one, but you've asked four questions. If you've asked four questions, pop up an email capture field or something like that so that you could send it to your CRM, because clearly this person is slightly engaged. They're kind of warm. They're a warm lead. So capture their email information, send it off through a webhook to, I don't know, your CRM or whatever it may be. And then in that way, you've got another channel to capture information, or who knows what that might be. Okay, so that's really interesting as well. So there's conditions that you can force into that conversation, if you like, as well, and steer it in different directions. Okay, so there we go. That was join.chat. Again, links in the show notes. Those two projects, absolutely fabulous. But this last one, I think, is going to be probably the most WordPressy one of all, especially if you're into the block editor. Now, I'm gonna look at my notes here so that I pronounce it correctly, because it's not that straightforward for me to pronounce.
I'm sorry.
So Sugerance, I think. Sugerance?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm going to spell it because it's probably easier to remember this way. So sugerence.com. sugerence.com. If you go there, you're going to see what it's all about. But maybe if you append that URL with gutenberg.sugerance.com, you will end up with, Playground or something. I don't know exactly what I'm looking at there, but it feels like I might be in a Playground instance or something like that. This is super cool. I've had literally 10 seconds to play with it, and already in 10 seconds, I could totally see, wow, what the heck? So if you were to go there, you'll notice that you're in a completely blank, let's say, post screen. So you've got the Gutenberg interface, you know, we're all familiar with that. But look at the bottom right of the screen, and you will have what looks like a form field to fill out. And it's saying, tell me something to do, basically. So I said, you know, what all people on the internet do, write me a post about cats and then add in some cat images. Okay, great. It did that. It took about 15 seconds. It gives me a nice rundown of what it's doing at this moment in time. So it, you know, it says, I'm thinking about the image. I've gone out to Openverse to find the image. I'm now concentrating on the text. I'm writing the text. And it did it. And then I said, okay, I don't want the image there. Put the image above the paragraph. And it did it. Okay, and that's where my experimenting ran out. Pretty basic, I know. But the point being, I'm in the Gutenberg interface doing all this. It's not like this new thing that OpenAI have launched, where you got this new Atlas browser where it's using, I don't even know what that is, you know, like a Chromium derivative or something like that, where it's trying to do this thing overlaid on the top, and it tries to grab the cursor and move the cursor to the appropriate bit. This is all doing it inside of the Gutenberg interface natively. This is pretty clever. I don't know how deep you are into this project, but just tell us what your intention is, maybe what the idea is. What's your roadmap? Where are you trying to go with this?
Let me try to answer. We spent 1 year working on a project that nobody saw. I mean, maybe a couple of people. It was not Sugerence. It was called SiteMate. And it was a non-MCP agent. And we were like, it was a nightmare. We had to research a lot of things, like even train an AI model for intent recognition to understand what the user wanted. And when we decided to end this project, it was this year on WordCamp Europe. We were in our booth and we decided, well, people are saying good things, but we are seeing some problems also. And this MCP started, this MCP trend, as we know now, that is really staying for everyone.
Hot. It's really hot. Yeah.
So we went, then I think we had that much of frustration during that year that we spent like a couple of weeks to like focus on creating something, and we were like brainstorming, like you can imagine, like really drunk brainstorming, not drunk, really like literally drunk, but like really, poof, you know, like a storm. And eventually we decided, I mean, we talked about a lot of things that I'm not going to tell you now because it would be like really long now. And at the end, we decided to focus on the most native and also the most challenging aspect of WordPress nowadays. And we thought that is the block editor. And also, and luckily for us, the block editor has a good, let's say, it's not an API, but let's call it an API, a way to interact with it. It's nice, and we can actually do it in a client state inside the browser.
Yep.
So, and we decided each day that it was a good idea, and we kept telling ourselves that it was a good idea, and eventually we said we may spend a lot of time again and maybe failing again, not failing, but deciding to stop. So let's start experimenting and showing the experiment from the first day open to the public. And that is that website that you mentioned. It is an experiment. Tomorrow, actually, we are changing the AI model. So now, today, you're using something that is already obsolete, because tomorrow we are releasing a new one, a new AI model. Not ours, not our model, but you are changing providers, and it's working better now. So it's a work in progress project. I don't know where it would end. We are thinking about monetizing it, obviously. There are a couple of ideas. You could use your own API key from, let's say, Anthropic or OpenAI, or you could pay us, like the Cursor model, pay us, and we would use your credits to pay the providers and keep some percentage. I actually don't remember your question.
That's okay. No, it was more. It was really about describing it. I think the thing which is kind of interesting to me is because it's in the block editor interface, you can ask it to do block editory things. So, yes. For example, I said, so it's really basic, right? But I said, okay, move the. So I had a paragraph and an image. That's all I had. I said, move the image above the paragraph. Obviously, that's like really a trivial thing for a human being to do.
Yes,
but,
yes.
But it did it. It had an understanding that, okay, this thing is movable. This image is a separate thing to this paragraph. We can move them around, which then I guess brings the question to me, like, what are the constraints around this? So, for example, we know that in a default version of WordPress, I don't know how many blocks I've got, but it must be in the order of 70, something like that. There are 70 blocks. Many of them, I don't even know what they do.
Well, yes,
quite a few of them. Could I interact with any of those? So obviously I used an image and I used a paragraph, but let's say, for example, I wanted to group things together, or I wanted to add in buttons, or I wanted to put separators or page breaks or grids or whatever it may be. Can I interact through this interface? Can I ask it to do any of those things?
The agent knows which blocks are you using in the current installation. I mean, how... The blocks that you have installed, and it can use them. So you can ask for a column layout, cover, it even can search patterns from the pattern library. So instead of creating a brand new, let's say, pricing table, the AI will understand that this is a complex thing to ask. So it will first look into the patterns and see if there is something that can help. Nowadays, it will give you the first choice, so it's not that smart yet, but it searches in the patterns collection. The thing is, the interesting thing is to be compatible with all block plugins, let's say, no? the plugins that gives new blocks.
Yeah.
And we are working on that now. We are also working on sub agents. Like, I have this really bad SEO page, and I just type, please fix this. And an SEO sub agent, let's call it that, will look into the keywords, will set the alt text for all images. So I see this project being most useful in this scenario than a blank page, because I know I had this feedback a lot through these weeks, like, this is not solving anything, because I'm giving you a blank page, so I know that you would start, it's easy for you to just, you know, drag some blogs and that's it. But imagine if you have a page or a post from 5 years ago with a lot of broken blogs, a lot of legacy blogs, I don't know, things that are like really difficult for you to just, okay, let's start fixing this. That is a good scenario for using this. And actually, I'm thinking in the demo soon to allow you, like in a video game, to choose like your mission. Like, you want blank state page, you want a messy page, that way you would be able to, and we would listen to everyone, if in any particular case this is useful. Because I know that moving blocks around and adding things is really an overkill to use AI. I mean, I am part of this, would say that is not the best way to do it. But I'm not saying that you should use the chat all the time, only when it makes sense, because you as human would have a lot of, not problems, but you would spend too much time fixing things or adding things. So actually, it's an experiment. So
yeah, and do you know what? You can't get there unless you've been here, if you know what I mean. Like, the AI,
totally.
The capacity in the future to, let's say, through, I don't know, a microphone, to be able to talk to your AI. So instead of me typing it and saying, move the picture of the cat up above the paragraph, and unless we go here first, we can't get there. And unless we do the baby steps, which maybe you're thinking this is the baby steps,
we can't get
to the more complicated things unless we go through the hoops of achieving the less complicated things. So that's where I see this at the moment. It's that promise of being able to do things that you never dreamed were possible just 3 years ago. Uh-huh. We're now presented with, absolutely. You know, people like you are coming up with UIs, coming up with concepts and trying things out. And it's a work in progress. And does this work? Maybe there's a superior way of doing it. That's what you're doing. And I think it's really interesting that it shows you the output. Incidentally, rather than going out and generating an image, it actually told me that it was going to search OpenVerse, which is freely available CC0 images, so you don't have to worry about attribution or anything like that. Although it did offer the attribute as a sort of a caption at the bottom of the image, which was quite nice as well. Hmm. But this is how we get there, right? If we want to have the option to do those kind of things, and you want to be able to create blog posts and things all through this interface, we have to go through these little hoops. I was wondering, you mentioned about SEO, so you talked about things inside of the content, you know, the WordPress content. So alt text, maybe tidying up the text and what have you, and maybe putting keywords in different places and what have you. Is it possible in the current implementation, is it possible to get inside of metadata as well? So let's say, for example, I had an SEO plugin or something like that. With the current implementation, is it just bound inside the content, or can it get inside metadata as well?
At the moment, it only works. I mean, it only knows the current content from the current page. But at the bottom part of the chat, there are some buttons.
I see those.
That sometimes are forgot. There is a context button that you can add context from other pages or posts. There is also a canvas button. You can draw things. Like drawing a layout.
I see that. That's super cool.
That's really experimental because it works sometimes, okay? Like drawing like three columns and say, okay, and even writing things in the canvas. It also has a microphone. So we are adding, like, this is like for us, it is like a sweet moment because we are engineers, we are creative. And we have this unexplored feature, like, using a chat to build a Gutenberg page, and we are just having fun. So we are adding things, we are shipping things that may be broken. I'm sorry, but it's okay because we just want to see if they resonate with people, if these things are really like impressing WordPress community. So yes, you can add context from other pages. You can draw things. I mean, if you want to generate an image, you can draw like a car image and just say, generate me an image from this drawing and things like that. We are now working on block generation feature. That is maybe for this week or so. I mean, it would be really not styled, and the UI will be like really simple, but to generate a block like Telex, because we love Telex and it was really an inspiration for us.
Yeah, no kidding. Pretty amazing.
Like this open playground.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, we now maybe used to it, but playground is really mind-blowing because you are, I'm not telling you that you can open a demo or you can download the plugin. I'm actually putting the demo inside of your face in a couple of seconds just by hitting the URL. So block generation is also coming. I mean, to generate a block is really, a challenge, but also to have it ready to use in your own website in a couple of seconds after it is generated, it's like another story. So we are also working on that. And for now, and at least on the short term, it will keep being an open experiment. But I mean, we have to think eventually if this is a product, and if it is a product, how to to tell people it's to use just, it? Or...
Honestly, it's so interesting. So I've got the interface open, and I'm drawing things as you're speaking.
I was seeing things. You that you were just distracted somehow, yeah, but, and I suppose
like distracted in the best possible way. So I tried to draw out some columns, and it didn't give me what I was expecting, but it was kind of like trying to, I could see it was the feedback that it was giving me. It was exploring like patterns and things like that. It was going in, seeing if there were patterns that were adjacent to it. Because I was distracted, I wasn't doing a very good job with the drawings. So they were all like really wobbly, and no, there were no straight lines or anything like that. So maybe it would do an interesting job if I tried harder. But like, what the heck is that? Drawing things as an idea to create structure within a website, just like drawing a basic line drawing and thinking, wow, okay, there's a chance.
I stole that idea from my conversation that I had in a WordCamp, that someone told me that it was so easy to build nowadays with Gutenberg because he draws some layout and asks Claude or OpenAI to... to do some, I don't remember that, like to do some scaffold or some boilerplate for it. And I thought, well, that would be interesting. And we just did the button, but it's not that, it's unpredictable, as you said. But I think if we manage to get it working for almost all the time, for all cases, it would be a really interesting way to create layouts in Gutenberg, because let me say one quick thing. I know people say Gutenberg or the block editor nowadays or traditionally is more useful for writing posts, but I do really think that Gutenberg at some point will be really a good solution for layout also.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's add some tools when it is. Maybe it is now, but when it is even better to be a layout solution, more tools for people to feel that they need to use Gutenberg. So this project for us is also a way to feature Gutenberg in our humble way, you know, like Gutenberg is awesome. So let's say that. Let's build this.
It's really interesting because I did this. I basically drew a square and put a line down the middle of it, kind of trying to imply, give me two, like a left and a right, something, two containers, if you like. Okay. And it wasn't able to do that, but it did come back and it gave me useful telemetry saying that it was kind of getting there. So it said things like, it didn't say exactly this, but I'll give you an idea of what it was saying. It's kind of thinking that I might be going for a two column layout with perhaps for a hero section, maybe there would be an image on the left and a button on the right. And it's saying that the proportions might be a 50-50 split. Honestly, I just drew a square and put a line through the middle of it. And it kind of intuited this kind of stuff. And then it's asking me, just collaborate with me a little bit. Give me some more intel. In fact, it says, please provide a descriptive input so I can assist you from here. So it's got a handle on what I'm doing. And if I wasn't talking to you and I was applying more concentration to what I was doing, this is amazing. I've said this into the podcast a few times, but I think it was 2017, I attended a WordCamp in London, WordCamp London. And there was a guy from Adobe there. And the guy from Adobe was stood on the stage and he was talking about the era in which you would communicate with your website in this manner. And he was saying, you'll say, give me a picture of a cat, not that cat, a different cat. Okay, can I have a button underneath it? No, I want the button to be red, not that red, a slightly darker red. And I remember thinking, this guy's making it up. How is this ever going to happen? And here we are, like, less than a decade later, and here it is. It's just like this kind of stuff is creeping in, and it this time next year it'll be insane.
Yes,
we can do.
So yes, I mean, building products with AI nowadays is really risky.
Yeah,
but at the same time is magical, because if the first one that is impressed by this is the one who is building it.
Yeah.
The solution. The first time it actually does the things that you thought that it would do, that moment is like, it's difficult to describe, because it's like creating the magic yourself. And you are creating that.
Yeah.
But also on the other hand, you know, on the other hand, it's really sometimes not frustrating, but it's really hard because people, and I mean myself also, we are used to this magic nowadays.
Yes.
So it's really difficult to impress people. I mean, maybe now you are impressed a little bit. Tomorrow, this drawing thing that you tested is not impressing you anymore. So it's like really the impressing window is really small now. Like you need to keep doing things to impress people.
Don't you think that's the kind of crazy making thing about this? In that, like, my eight-year-older self would have looked at what we can do now, and I would be like, wow, we're in Star Trek.
Yes.
You know, we're living
yes.
like in some kind of science fiction world. And yet now I'm completely used to it. And I'm waiting for the next adrenaline hit. You know, the next thing to come along.
We're addicted.
You know, and we've kind of like we had for years we had this kind of Turing test as the measure of when an artificial intelligence could be, you know, it's kind of human level. And we broke through that probably 2 or 3 years ago, and nobody seemed to notice, and everybody then just went, well, the Turing test was a bit of a silly test, it turned out. And yet we were holding on to that for ages. It is miraculous. You've got to check this out. So I'll just read in the URL again. So if you go to, probably the easiest thing is Gutenberg.Sugerance. Let me just make sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. Yes, Sugerance. Sugerence.com. Go and check it out. By tomorrow, it'll be a different version, so you won't get
that. But literally, yes, it will be. Yeah. I'm not joking. Maybe so, worse.
Yeah, maybe I'll draw the square and it'll totally grasp what I'm on about straight away. Go and check it out. You know, if you haven't played with AI inside the block editor, and you can interact with all the native blocks and just have a mess around and give some feedback, because I'm pretty sure that Amadeu will be more than happy to hear from you. With that in mind, Amadeu, where do people find out about... So we've talked about three things. If anybody's interested in any of those things and wants to have a chat with you, where's the best place to discover you or communicate with you?
A couple of months ago, maybe more than a couple, I started to being visible in the social media ecosystem. Now I am really active on X or Twitter. So I think for people, if they want to know more about what we are doing, because I try to share daily things from this project and a couple of more things. So on Twitter, yes, or X, sorry. Myself as my personal account. So that would be the best way to follow what we do and obviously to send me some messages if...
Okay, that's perfect.
Other questions.
When we end the call, I'll get your handle and I will put it into the show notes so that anybody that wants to follow up can do that. What a pleasure. That was such an interesting foray into three totally different things. So we've got a plugin directory powered by AI. We've got a sort of chat with your website system powered by AI. And then we've got a really fascinating project where you can just chat with the block editor and see what the heck it does. Just what a powerful lot of things. So thank you so much for chatting to me today, Amadeu. That is fascinating. Yeah, have a nice day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, that's all that we've got time for today. I hope that you enjoyed it. If you did, head to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 443 and leave us a comment there. Well, leave us a comment there. Even if you didn't enjoy it, we would certainly appreciate that. Just a quick reminder that we've got our Black Friday deals page, wpbuilds.com/black. If you would like to get your products on there, hit the add a deal button. And don't forget the sponsorship cards, which you can find at the top of that page as well. We'd love to get you in pride of place in this very busy time, the run up to Black Friday. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also helped out by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support with Bluehost Cloud. The possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also joined by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And thanks go to Bluehost, GoDaddy Pro, and Omnisend for their continuing support of the WP Builds podcast. Remember, if you'd like to join them, wpbuilds.com/advertise. Okay, that really is all that I have got time for. I hope that you stay safe and have a nice week. Bye-bye for now.